The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
You're listening to the Evening Show podcast. I'm Gordon Smart and today with producer Joel.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm great, Joel. We're living in a different world when we do the old podcast introduction, aren't we?
Yeah. We take the temperature of the room right down, change the lighting.
We dress like he's 17.
I don't know why we've been doing that for so long. And then we get the finger food out, the nibbles.
Thank you very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and Joe. Lots lined up for you. A classic album about the vaccines. What did you expect from the vaccines back in 2011? Great debut album, that. We will also be looking at a new artist called Jerry Cinnamon, who is getting loads and loads of attention, and rightly so. He's a superstar in the making, even if you're not a Scot like me. On top of that, Simon Pegg, Hollywood star, comedian, producer, runs his own studio, friend of Coldplay, amongst many other things. He was on the show this week and you can enjoy him entertaining us with great stories. How about that, Joe?
All-round ledge, Simon Pegg. Very good podcast, mate.
A former comedian who got a really rough time on stage. You can hear all about that on the Evening Show podcast. So please do enjoy, and if you're feeling generous, leave us a little review.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is the Evening Show on Radio X. I'm thrilled because I've got a fantastic guest today. A world-class writer, a brilliant producer, a comedian, a fantastic comedian at that, an actor. He's Coldplay's harmonica player, and I can also tell you that he's Nick Frost's mate. Simon Pegg is here. All right, Simon.
Hello, how are you, Gordon?
I'm good, yeah. Of all those things, what are you most proud of?
I'm out of that list, probably Nick Frost, mate.
I thought I was hoping that, because that's the correct answer. That is the correct answer. Now, Simon, everybody knows Mission Impossible and what it's all about, so I'm not going to ask you all the questions you would expect, but yeah. I'd like you to convince our listeners that you're not just having a great laugh all the time on Mission Impossible. Is it work? Is there actually much work involved?
Oh, it is work. This one was particularly work-like in that it was about 144 days shooting, and the hours are long, and it's about, you know, getting the shots, and Christopher McQuarrie, who's the director, is really, really meticulous about what he wants. So yes, it's fun in that we get to go to crazy places and learn skills like, you know, sub aqua acting and driving a speedboat, but at the same time it's tiring, you know, and I would never complain because I get to do the thing I love doing for my job, but it is work, and this one was a lot of work because it's just extraordinarily big, this one.
Yeah, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. This is called Fallout, this one. Does Tom Cruise sort of lead by example like a captain in a football team, and it kind of makes you all graft that a little bit harder?
Yeah, well, he kind of, you feel like you were half-assing it if you didn't, you know, bring your, I mean, he's all about 100% all the time in every aspect of his life. You know, he's a totally sort of driven, focused human being.
I think the secret behind Simon Pegg, I think it is, it's a Scottish woman, isn't it, Maureen? Behind
absolutely.
You. That's the secret behind all the power, all the success and all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
When you go off to work in the morning on Mission Impossible, does she say, now, don't be dragged into showing off the boys today?
She's so good. Like, she won't let me ever have a motorbike or anything like that. Yeah. You know, she is utterly, I mean, you say that in a sort of semi-jest, but it's totally true. I am absolutely indebted to that woman for sort of like, A, enduring my fancy schmancy actor ways, but also just, you know, the level of, whenever I get home from a day's work on Mission Impossible, she's still busy, you know, so I can never get home and go, oh, I've had a hard day driving a speedboat over the River Seine, you know, because she's been doing what the vast majority of mothers do if they, you know, work or stay at home as well, which is work a lot harder than their husbands do, you know.
And your daughter Matilda, how old is she now?
She's nine, just turned nine.
So she can also cut you down to size as well if she wants.
She and I have a fantastic relationship. When I was in LA recently, I was making a movie and I was away for 6 weeks, and that's a long time to be away from home.
Terrible, yeah.
It's the hardest thing about the job is separation. But now she's old enough to sort of like play computer games. We used to play Minecraft together, and we'd meet, or Fortnite, and we'd meet in these games so we could actually have a kind of almost like a strange physical interaction. Like we could build a house together.
Yeah.
It's a great way to stay in contact with your kids if you can get a console when you're away.
Yeah, well,
mums and dads.
So I do this, right? But my son's the other day went to my wife with the dance from Fortnite, where he started throwing notes at her.
Oh yeah.
It's not good for an 8-year-old boy.
Well, I've had a conversation with Tilly about the relative merits of a tactical shotgun. And like It's really bizarre when she said, "Don't you? You need a mid-range weapon, Dad. You need to pick up something a little bit more good for close encounters." And I'm like, "What? You're 8?"
Simon, I want to ask you about your comedy career quickly, just before we move on. You were in David Icke and the Orphans of Jesus. Is that right?
Yeah.
Just, I'd like to bring you back to the highlights of your career so far.
Yeah, that was a comedy group that was in 1989, and it was just our little university comedy group.
Yeah. So the question here that we ask all the comedians to come in is about your worst gig.
Now, I haven't been a comedian for 20 years, you know. I mean, I kind of stopped doing stand-up the year I went on tour with Coogan, which was 98, but I remember very clearly a gig at the...
Scarred.
It was at the Bristol homeless shelter. I did a gig for the homeless and literally was doing this cutesy material about cats and dogs and student life in front of a line of elderly, inebriated men... who kept going, "Oh, give us a song! Give us a song!" like this. And it was beyond awful.
Did you give them a song?
I think I did in the end. I think I just caved. Started singing Danny Boy or something.
Simon, can you hang around a little bit longer?
Yes, of course.
Well, that is a massive relief. Right, this is the Evening Show here on Radio X. One last thing. Can you choose a Coldplay song for us to play right now?
Yes, I will play... Let's go for a deep cut. Let's go for God Put a Smile Upon Your Face from Fantastic. Rush of Blood.
There he knows it inside out, doesn't he? That's it. Imagine we'd caught you out there.
Yeah, I know. Coldplay.
Here we go. Coldplay on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
And put a smile upon your face.
Coldplay on Radio X. This is the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Simon Pegg is still here, fortunately. Grateful for that. Thanks, Simon, for having me. Your career over the last 25 years, from playing in the Bristol homeless shelter all the way through to Hollywood trailers, how's your rider changed, right? Can you just give us a little sense of how exciting that? Because I bet it still is exciting when you wander in and they've got sort of a perfectly air-conditioned room with sort of lovely wheatgrass smoothies laid aside for you.
No, I mean, my trailer has kind of got bigger, I guess. And that we went on Spaced, we had a double-decker bus that we all had to sit on. That no, there were no trailers. Then trailers were a thing suddenly in film, but then I did a film in LA recently. It was like a 19-day shoot, and my trailer was a tiny, tiny little corridor which I shared with my co-actor. And and really, in terms of riders, the only thing I have on a film now is my zero-gravity garden chair, which I have instead of... Most actors will sit on director's chairs on set, but they're quite uncomfortable. You're very upright. I did a movie years and years ago with Jeff Bridges, and he gave me this sage advice, which is to get yourself one of these chairs. He gifted me his, which I called Jeff, and now that's been retired because it's very threadbare.
Where is Jeff?
Jeff is in the cellar at my house. Right. But... Now, anytime I get to a different country, they're about $40 and they're a zero gravity garden chair. It's a reclining deck chair and it's brilliant because it keeps you real comfortable. You can stay on set. It doesn't mean you go back to your trailer, which means getting you back out of your trailer. And that's what I always have. And I've had one in everywhere from China to Canada, America. I've had Chinese Jeff, Australian Jeff. I bought Australian Jeff back from Australia because it was so good. It had a cup holder and a case.
Excellent.
So I thought, I can't let that one go.
Yeah, we had Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol on recently, and he was talking about his rider, and they insisted that they had two full Stormtrooper outfits. Never got it, but Ash asked for signed Star Wars memorabilia.
Really?
And they always got it.
That's
so is there anything in the contract? Well, I suppose it's Jeff, really, now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, also, because... I'm not a rock star, and I can't sort of turn up at a dressing room and, you know, I'm there to do a job of work. Sometimes you'll arrive in the trailer on the first day and you get a gift from production. This, on Mission Impossible, we were given a radio-controlled helicopter, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Hasn't come out of the box yet. But, you know, it's kind of... it's dangerous to go down that route of... speaking of Jeff Bridges, he did have a thing whereby he liked to get loads of instruments in, like when he got them, because he's a megastar. You know, this was in 2008. He's given us a budget to go and buy a bunch of stuff. So he bought some bongo drums in. So the first day I ever met Jeff Bridges, we were all in his trailer at lunchtime, like jamming. And he was like singing on the... He's playing the guitar and I was playing the bongo. It was one of the weirdest, most wonderful moments of my career. Even now, looking back on
that.
So
you just told us you're not a rock star. I've seen you play harmonica in front of 40,000 people with Coldplay. You are a rock star.
That's terrifying. I hate doing that.
Yeah, do you? No,
I don't hate doing it, but every time if I go to see them... And Chris Martin says, "Oh, what do you want to play harmonica?" I'm generally will go, "No, I just want to watch the show. I'm going to sit here nervous for like an hour." And then, when I do it, I love it. It's amazing, you know. Yeah.
More from Simon Pegg in just a second on Radio X.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
We mentioned we were doing this one tonight on Twitter, and people have gone mad for it. They love it. Debut studio album From the Vaccines. What did you expect from the Vaccines? It was 11th of March 2011. I remember this coming out very, very well because the songs are so punchy, all about 2 or 3 minutes each, lots and lots of punky spirit about it. They are brilliant. When they first released as well, I thought, hang on a minute, there's a new band that we're going to see live and enjoy, and they are class live. I remember seeing them at Benny Kassim just after this came out, and they were outstanding. So the album reached number 4 in the UK album chart. Huge year for them, 2011. January kicked off with them getting the cover of the NME. Then they were nominated for an MTV Award and the Best New Band thing, plus Critics' Choice Award at the BBC. So lots of really good stuff happening for them as they came out. They played their first show in America in 2011, and somebody came along to see them who they love, and really, I wouldn't mind having one of my gigs if I was in a band. Debbie Harry from Blondie came to see them because she loved the music. The band got a lot of attention for a previous demo of Do You Wanna, and then this really dates it as well. They put it up on YouTube, so one of the first bands who were really, really getting noticed because of YouTube. The same recording prompted Clash magazine to say that the Vaccines would usher in a new era of guitar music, and I think they were pretty right. Just about spot on there. According to an early interview, both Justin and Freddie were wary about including that song on the album because they weren't sure, so they re-recorded it again, something that the Vaccines do quite a lot. They play with the song a lot and eventually stick with it, and it's probably now their most popular single to date. I think in the last album they had 85 songs that they whittled down to about 10 or 11. Anyway, the album was produced by Dan Gretsch, who engineered on Radiohead's Amnesiac and in Rainbows as well, so a talented man. He also produced the Cook's second album, and following on from working with the Vaccines, it did some work, good work for him. He did the Lana Del Rey album, then Tom Odell, Circa Waves, and more recently he produced Liam Gallagher's debut As You Were, so they certainly opened doors for him as well, and we think they're class, the Vaccines. Play them lots on Radio X, they're great guests when they come on. So two songs to play from you from that album back in 2011. What did you expect from the Vaccines? So I've got If You Want and that amazing song, plus Post Breakup Sex, great songs to see live.
The Evening Show Classic Album of the Week.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic Album of the Week.
X.
2011, what did you expect from the Vaccines? The whole album lasts 36 minutes, so Norgard, you can hear in the background now, it's about 90 seconds long. There you go, brevity. Justin the Facehung and Freddie the Catwalk Cowan deliberately and consciously don't mess about when it comes to the length of the songs they write. Loads of messages coming out about it as well. Helen HMKY on Twitter says her kid's favourite album and included a little video of the kids going bananas in the back of her car to If You Wanna. Sharon as well, one of the best debuts ever, Roll on Wednesday. I think you must have a gig on. And Richie says, many a tune on there, class album. One of my favourite albums ever from Joe Brandon as well. So you just heard Post Breakup Sex. It was the second single from the album. Got to number 32, but spent 3 weeks in the top 100. And there's a chap, this is a bit of an unusual Vaccines fact for you, the godfather of home recording, right? He's a man called R. Stevie Moore. He's got 200 self-released albums to his name, only the 200. He did a cover for Record Store Day on a 7-inch vinyl. Only 500 copies exist, and I am told that they are gold dust collector's items for Vaccines fans. It got the nod from the band themselves. If You Wanted before that as well, it was the third single from the album, released a week after the album came out. Got to only number 35, but it's had 40 million streams on Spotify. Not bad going, is it?
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I want to talk about The Killers because they did something brilliant on Sunday night. Not only did they close Transmit Festival, which was a runaway success this year, they went on to play a little gig, a secret gig in Glasgow at the famous King Tut's. What an amazing thing to do as well. And the only people who could get tickets were either fan club members or folk who had a ticket for Transmit. So they went up, played the gig, and what a set they put on as well. A 12-song set. Brandon Flowers on stage introduced the first song, Hot Fuss, and then he went off and did Jenny Was a Friend of Mine, Human, Somebody Told Me, Mr. Brightside, and some quotes from Ronnie Vannucci Jr., or Ronnie the Trouble Car, as we call him. And he said, I'm just curious to see what this experience will do to my brain. I think it will bring back memories. We were going to open up to the public, but we worried about announcing it on stage because so many people wanted to come. The level of interest was huge. It might be a hazard. Well, it looked amazing. There is some footage kicking around. Go and have a look at it, because it looked like a really special gig. And of course, if it wasn't for Britain and the UK and Scotland, the Killers wouldn't have had their big break, because it all happened over here before it happened anywhere else in the world. And they are a massive band, probably the biggest band, one of the biggest bands in the world right now. But if you aren't from Scotland and you don't understand King Tut's, let me just give you a little bit of an idea of how important it is. When you walk in, you pay your money, you go in, you reach a set of stairs very quickly. And on the stairs, just in front of you, they've got some historic moments just lined up. So it says, "Welcome to King Tut's Wow Wow Hut." And then the first step, 1990, dot, 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 The Charlatans. 1991, dot, 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 Manic Street Preachers and Blur. 1992, dot, 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 Suede. Then 1993, Oasis, The Verve, Pulp, Mercury Rev and Stone Temple Pilots. And I thought I'd tell you as well, the venue means so much to so many famous musicians, including Noel Gallagher. Every now and again, on a famous anniversary, you get a little message from him saying, "On this day, I plugged my guitar into my amp and history was made at King Tut's in Glasgow that night." So it's just seeping with history, music history. What a brilliant venue it is.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Simon Pegg is still here, and I've been building up for the big moment where I ask the embarrassing question about Slash Gordon, which could seem slightly creepy and weird, but I'm going to ask anyway. Have you had an awkward encounter in the bathroom with somebody famous? I'm sure you have.
I have, and I have two. I have Nick Frost's one as well, which is an interesting one. I don't want to tell. It's annoying because the luminary to whom it refers is someone I respect and is no longer with us. But I will say he's a comedy great.
Yes.
From the great light entertainment tradition of British comedy. Nick Frost went into a bathroom stall after him at the Comedy Awards and discovered a gigantic dreadnought that said one of these two comedians had deposited.
No. Chewbacca's finger.
For me, it was way, way, way back in the days when I think we were at the BAFTA Television Awards and we were nominated for Spaced. And I went into the toilet and Michael Barrymore was in there, and he had that evening spectacularly and very publicly fallen off the wagon, bless his heart, and was... had been quite sort of loud and boisterous and embarrassing on stage in a way that you can be in that situation. And but I came face to face with him in the toilets and I didn't know what to say, and I literally just went, "All right."
It just happened.
And I left and I just felt, "Oh, what did you just do?" Because he looked at me like, "Really?" Like, et tu, Brute? It was terribly embarrassing.
I've been waiting for a chance for years to bump into Nick Frost in the toilet, because I'm told that you became friends because one of you had walked past and gone, "Doo, doo, doo, doo."
No, that was in an Indian restaurant. Actually, I had a very funny bathroom encounter. Remember that with Nick Frost, which he did to make me laugh. We were at a pub in Highgate called The Shepherds, which is now called The Boogaloo. It's a great pub, great site. Yes. It used to be like an old man's pub. Now it's a fantastic sort of music pub. He went into the bathroom before me, dropped his trousers and his pants and sat on the urinal. And then when I walked in and he was just sat there looking like he was depositing a number two on the urinal, he went, "Hey, I'm in here." It was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, we should give Nick a very quick mention, because you've started a production company together.
Yeah, we have.
Stolen Picture,
yeah.
For congratulations on that.
Thank you, man. Yeah, we're just gearing up to sort of let our slate loose on the world. And it's really exciting.
How do you two get any work done? Do you not just...
We do, but it's difficult. But now we're like sort of having to be sort of executives, and that's a real drag.
Beating grown-ups is rubbish.
It is rubbish.
I just want to go and play Fortnite with you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Two films to come, though. You've got Slaughterhouse Rules coming with that.
Yeah, that's Nick and I have produced that, and are both in it. It's a horror comedy, and it's going to be really fun, I think. That's out in October.
We should say Mission Impossible Fallout is coming next week, July 25th, I believe.
25th, yeah.
Go and see it. Your back is Benji, and you're living every boy's dream, aren't you?
Really? I would like to think so.
Hanging around with Henry Cavill, feeling great about yourself.
It doesn't help with feeling great about yourself, Henry. His wide handsomeness.
Simon, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Gordon.
Big love to your Scottish missus.
I'll pass it on.
For all the Scottish mums out there, come on. Simon Pegg out with Mission Impossible very soon. This is the Evening Show on Radio X. Thanks for your company, Simon.
Thanks, mate.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I've been really looking forward to tell you about this new artist. I'm a massive fan of his. I say new, but he's been kicking around for a good few years now. But he's finally really breaking through. If you're a regular listener to The Evening Show, there is a good chance you will have heard me raving about a singer-songwriter called Jerry Cinnamon. What a man he is. If not, it's a name you might recognise after he played an amazing set at Neighbourhood Weekender back in May. He sold out a UK tour this year. And then last weekend, he played an incredible show in front of 45,000 people at Transmit. Now, normally at that point, at the stage he was on, you don't get a full crowd. But 45,000 were there. And I was there. Could not get anywhere near the front. Managed to just squeeze far enough in to see him in the distance. But what a set he performed. It went down brilliantly. Now, I first heard about him, Jerry Cinnamon, in Scotland, because he built up the following the hard way. Grafting, playing gigs, getting around the country, starting a mad word-of-mouth wave of support that has followed him from day one. On Wednesday night, on the evening show here at Radio X, I play a track of the week from This Feeling, which is the best indie club night in the country. And it's where you can see artists like Jerry Cinnamon before they become festival headliners. Now, we managed to track Jerry down, and we got him on board for This Feeling TV, one of our little online TV shows we do, to promote those bands we love and see up and down the country. And he was on our Christmas episode, so go and check it out on YouTube, Jerry Cinnamon's performance, and they are very rare. It's not often you get to see him anywhere, so go and have a look. It's a moment I will never forget. He was outstanding, really was a special moment. Now here is a little clip from an extremely rare interview with Jerry Cinnamon taken from that episode, and this is courtesy of This Feeling TV. Jerry Cinnamon.
Jerry Cinnamon. Finally.
Made it done, man.
For the last 2 years, every time I've been out in Scotland, somebody has said, have you heard Jerry Cinnamon? Tell us the story, right? Because this has been rumbling on for about 18 months. And in the last little while, you sold out two nights at the Battlelands without any support from any sort of radio, TV, anything like that.
A Facebook post. I think the first night sold out before I even woke up.
And the significance of the Battlelands as well. Every band you speak to, regardless of the level of the success, that's a huge thing.
It's the best band in the world, isn't it?
And the mad thing as well is that your life has completely changed in that year. You know, where we come from, you have become a well-kent face, as we say. I mean, that must be a bit odd for you to suddenly have that recognition after writing an album in your bedroom.
It's good, man. I love when people come up and say, I can't take a compliment. It's a bit weird. I get all bashful and all that. Like, you look at the social media and people are just loving it.
So that was Jerry Cinnamon just having a bit of a chat with us. You can see the full interview at This Feeling TV, and thank you very much for giving us that clip. And it's great stuff from Jerry as well. He really is a very quiet, very shy, very humble man, but the music he is producing is brilliant, and I believe he's got something like another 100 songs lined up for the next album. Erratic Cinematic, I think is the name of the album. It's class. Go and have a little listen to it as well. I went to see Jerry recently in Camden, and it just blew my mind. Busloads of people turning up to see him from Scotland, but also there's a big group of guys from Leeds who'd shown up to see him. There's some girls that had turned up from the West Country. It wasn't just a Scottish thing, is what I'm trying to tell you. He is such a talented lad, determined to do it based on the merits of his songwriting and live shows alone. And we want you to hear more of what Jerry has been doing, because it really is special stuff. Go and see him live. It really is something to behold. This man is very special. I think he's going to go all the way.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Thanks for downloading the Evening Show podcast. There will be another edition next week. In the meantime, be good, and I'll see you later. Radio X.